The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the aspect of his face was changed, and his clothing became brilliant as lightning. Suddenly, there were two men there talking to him. They were Moses and Elijah, appearing in glory, and they were speaking of his passing, which he was to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were heavy with sleep, but they kept awake and saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As these were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is wonderful for us to be here. So let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. As he spoke, a cloud came and covered them with shadow. And when they went into the cloud, the disciples were afraid. And a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, the Chosen One. Listen to him." And after the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. The disciples kept silence, and at that time told no one what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Mystery is a part of our lives. We live with it daily. When things are unclear to us, we say, "It's a mystery." Or when we fail to understand why somebody behaved in a certain way, we say, "He or she is a mystery." The same applies to situations where we have no explanation as to why something happened. Again, we say, "It's a mystery." For some, mystery is unsettling and uncomfortable. We want to know. We want and demand answers now. For others, mystery can be endlessly fascinating, especially for inquiring minds who want to get to the bottom of what remains unclear, unsolved. Mystery even becomes the subject of our entertainment in novels and films, such as detective stories. The classic Poirot and Miss Marple's come to mind, and there are many others. The contemporaries of Jesus claimed to know his father and mother and family. In the Gospel of Mark, the question is asked, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon?" Jesus is a human being, of flesh and blood, like you and me. Pope Benedict, in his published work on Jesus of Nazareth, makes the point that the ordinariness of Jesus, the provincial carpenter, seems not to conceal a mystery of any kind. His origin marks him out as one like any other. Yet, Pope Benedict goes on to observe that there is a very definite mysteriousness. In Jesus, all is not as it seems. There is much that is hidden. There is mystery. At certain key moments in Jesus' life, however, the veil is lifted. What has been hidden is revealed, and we get a glimpse of another reality about the person of Jesus. Such a key moment is the event of Jesus' transfiguration, the account of which we have just heard. Transfiguration, I think, is a big word. So what does it mean? In plain language, it means being transformed into something more beautiful and elevated. In respect of the transfiguration of Jesus, his nature as the divine Son of God, existing in eternal glory, is revealed to the apostles Peter, James, and John, who were granted seeing him in a new light. A hidden reality about the life and nature of Jesus was thus revealed in a unique event they were privileged to witness. And they were clearly overwhelmed by the experience. And who wouldn't be when confronted with the presence and radiance of divinity? St. Paul also uses the term transfigure in his letter to the Philippians. It is now applied to us when he said, "The Lord Jesus Christ will transfigure these wretched bodies of ours into copies of his own glorious body." What is going on here? Something quite marvelous, actually. What Paul is saying is that our bodies will be transformed into copies of Christ's own body in its glorified state. So we have a destiny that goes beyond what meets the eye. This process has already begun. It began in baptism and continues throughout our lives to the extent that we allow God's grace to transform us so that we increasingly become more like Christ, sharing in his divine life. Our Lenten practices, if undertaken in the right spirit and in the right attitude, can better dispose us to be receptive to God's grace, working in and through us. And when we cooperate with God's transforming grace, it is not only ourselves who are gradually transfigured, for in this way we enable the radiance of Christ's light to touch others and provide them with the possibility of being transfigured too, extending to all peoples. Through this means, Christ transforms and gathers in all creation and brings it to fulfillment in God. So, there's a lot more going around us than what meets the eye, but we need the eyes of faith to see it.